Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Morning, friends. It is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update, a Wednesday deep dive. Four articles, and we'll talk about them a little more depth than we generally do on the other podcasts, on the other days anyway. And so, as always, I want to thank you for taking the time to download, listen. If you have thoughts, questions, comments on the podcast, you're always welcome to hit me up, Darren, at thecyberguy.com. Let me move my microphone again here. That doesn't sound very good. All right, so let's get right into it. First is from cybernews.com, Justinus Final of vicious reporting. Privacy consultant convicted of cyber spying. Subheadline: a federal jury has convicted a former computer privacy consultant from Seattle for a cyber stalking campaign threatening sexual assault and other violence against multiple victims. This is not necessarily a crime I talk about a lot about here, but obviously it's a separate subclass of cyber crime that needs to be paid attention to, right? Because in addition to the Chinese hacking and the Russian issues and all the stuff we talk about, the ransomware and the business email compromise, this is a much more severe problem in the sense that there's violence involved, right? So we need to cover these articles when things like this come out, because this is a good news story where someone actually is going to jail for doing something wrong in the cyberland. So from the article, according to court documents, 34-year-old Sumit Garg engaged in an extensive campaign of threats and sexually explicit messaging and social media posts about a woman who used to share an apartment with his spouse. The jury convicted Garg of one account of conspiracy to engage in cyberstalking, three counts of cyberstalking in violation of a criminal order, and two counts of cyberstalking. He will be sentenced later this year, the Department of Justice said. So this is a federal crime. Garg faces a minimum prison sentence of 3 years and a maximum penalty of 30 years of jail time. A federal district court judge will determine the sentence. According to the DOJ, the convict gained access to the victim's personal information after moving into the apartment with his spouse. He used his computer skills to threaten multiple people in the former roommate's life, including her uncle and boyfriend. The man also threatened the Seattle police detective who investigated the threats, as well as a prosecuting attorney who filed charges against him. Genius, this guy is clearly. Garg again used his experience in cybersecurity to try and conceal who was sending the threats or making the posts, the DOJ said. Cyberstalking is a federal crime in the U.S. and falls under the federal stalking statute, which was amended in 2013 to include stalking online or over the phone. According to one estimate, over 7.5 million people, including children, are affected by stalking in the U.S., both in person and online, every year. That's a lot of victims. The law made it illegal to use any interactive computer service or electronic communication service to conduct activity that places a person in reasonable fear of death or serious bodily injury, or that causes or could cause substantial emotional distress. The law states the actions must be intentional. So I point this out simply to state that it's, again, something that families and individuals need to be aware of and have the ability to talk to friends and family members in their orbit when these things happen. Because with this kind of event, if the victim and the bad guy or bad girl, if that's the case, are in the same judicial area, in other words, they're both in the United States or they're both in the same state, then it makes it much easier for law enforcement to actually find the person doing this and actually put handcuffs on them and send them to jail. Now, if it's cyber stalking from overseas, a couple of things on that, not good either, because there's a separate form of cyber stalking or cyber harassment that has to do with sexting. It's sexual stalking, sexual harassment. That hits mostly kids, where they find people on social media, TikTok or what have you, and they start to exchange images of each other. And then one of them extorts the other one, saying, hey, is this a scam? It's a scam from overseas that if you don't pay $500, I'm going to show all your friends your picture, right? So again, it's a different version. The problem with that one is no one's going to go to jail for that. This is a good case in the sense that they were able to target the guy, and he was clearly a stupid criminal if he was going to then threaten people investigating the crime. So, I mean, now the key thing is it's easy to get the dumb ones. It's hard to get the smart ones. But again, it's one of these things where I note this article simply to make the point that, again, when it comes to these kind of incidents, don't be afraid to reach out to someone, because these are cases that the FBI, law enforcement can actually have a positive result to. So again, and it's important to talk about them, right? When these things happen, people get afraid. They feel shame that they may have been victimized, and you need to remove that aspect from those family relationships, so that people can have the faith to come to someone and say, hey, this, I'm having this problem. Can you help me? I had a family come to me with a kid that had been sextorted. And I told him, look, chances are the person's overseas. If he didn't show his face, he can always deny the pictures are his. And chances are they won't do anything anyway. And that is clearly what happened. Didn't pay the money and the pictures were never released. It was never a big deal. So a big deal to the kid at the time, but it turned out to be nothing. So again, important article just to highlight this issue. Again, this shows about understanding the threats targeting us. This is one of those threats. So be aware of it. Again, share the information. You don't have to go read the article. It's all right. I read it all. But as always, for all the articles in this podcast, they are listed in the show notes if you want to go review them. Darkreading.com, Apple security bug opens iPhone, iPad to remote control execution. CVE 2024-1580 allows remote attackers to execute arbitrary code on affected devices. Apple finally has released more details on a mysterious update the company silently pushed last week for iOS and iPadOS 17.4.1. As it turns out, the updates address a new vulnerability in the respective operating system that allows a remote attacker to execute arbitrary code on affected iPhones and iPads. Apple iOS and iPadOS products affected by the vulnerability library include iPhone XS and later, iPad Pro 12.9-inch second generation and later. It includes a bunch of them, right? So basically, if you have a newer iPhone or iPad within the last couple of years, update your systems today, because this can allow an external user to gain access to your phone. And one of the things to keep in mind, though, right? We talk a lot about PCs being targeted and Androids. Apple devices are vulnerable with things like this, right? Software, everything, every digital technical device has some kind of software code that underlies how it works. That code is made by humans. Humans make mistakes. Those mistakes lead to issues like this. And so we don't talk about Apple as much as we do PCs and Windows devices, but it does happen, right? And it's becoming more and more prevalent because more and more people have access or own devices within the Apple ecosystem. So it's important to keep these things updated. Actually, I'm thinking about it. Let me check my phone sitting right here to make sure that I have updated mine last week. It should have updated last week. Again, it's one of these things where you need to tell your friends that aren't paying attention to different, paying attention to these kind of things, to be on the lookout for these updates and to update these things as they come out. Now, actually, I'm looking at mine. I'm not updated, but it does not give me the option to update. That's interesting. So maybe they're rolling it out. One thing with Apple, I will say on this, they need to announce these and tell you why the problem exists, as opposed to waiting a week later. It does say in this article it's a potentially dangerous flaw. It says security researcher Paul Ducklin identified Apple's hesitation to release details of the flaw last week as a sign that the company likely assessed the flaw as being dangerous. Now, the reason they would not release the details, because if bad guys didn't know about it, they couldn't compromise it or utilize the vulnerability. Now that it's known, you will see this issue. And it says so far in 2024, three of the 4 zero-day bugs that Google has included in its Project Zero spreadsheet are Apple related, which means that there's no fix for that. This I don't think is one, because there is a fix, obviously. But again, it's important to pay attention to all your devices, keep them updated, keep them patched. That's what's going to keep you safe. More from the good news file, such that this one is cyberscoop.com, AJ Vicens and Derek Johnson reporting. US and UK accuse China of cyber operations targeting domestic politics. Now, I saw this headline and my thought was, well, welcome to 2008, right? China's been doing this a long time, but this actually goes a little more depth. Officials in Washington and London say hackers backed by the Chinese government sought to silence dissidents and surveil politicians. Again, I say to this, welcome to the early 2000s. The Chinese have been doing this for a long time. But in this case, the U.S. government on Monday accused 7 Chinese nationals and a company based in Wuhan of orchestrating a wide-ranging hacking operation targeting political targets in the United States in what is Washington's latest attempt to curb what officials describe as increasingly aggressive cyber operations carried out by Beijing. Now, they've been doing this a long time. To say they're increasingly aggressive is an interesting turn of a phrase, but they've been aggressive a long time. That's all I got to say. In an indictment unsealed in the Eastern District of New York, federal prosecutors allege that the group of seven Chinese nationals conspired in a sprawling operation to breach personal devices belonging to U.S. officials and dissidents based in the United States and other companies. The Justice Department will not tolerate efforts by the Chinese government to intimidate Americans who serve the public, silence the dissidents who are protected by American laws, or steal from American businesses, Merrick Garland said in a statement. This case serves as a reminder of the ends to which the Chinese government is willing to go to target and intimidate its critics. Does it even list who those people are? Well, you can go find the, if you want to go find the affidavit, you can read it. It's attributed to APT-31, which is also attributed to the Electoral Commission hack from a couple years ago. The UK officials accused Chinese hackers of targeting British politics on Monday. In a speech, Prime Minister Oliver Dowden accused Chinese-linked hackers of being behind the 2021 hack of the Electoral Commission over there. So again, not a surprise that this is another avenue that Chinese actors are taking. The key point to make here is that while it's, I'm sure the since they have unsealed the indictment, that there's individuals named. Now, the problem is no one's going to jail for this. Now, the government describes the company Wuhan XRZ as a front company used by the Chinese Ministry of State Security. So they may put that on the OFAC list, or the Office of Foreign Access Control, under the Department of Treasury, where people can't do business with them. But chances are I don't do real business anyway. So it's really not going to matter. They're just going to form a new company that's going to do the same thing. So take this for what it is. A good public naming and shaming of what China is doing. But at the end of the day, the end result will be fairly limited. China is going to continue to do this, continue to target these individuals. My problem with this report, and maybe it's in the indictment, I should go read it, is how did they do it? What is the methodology by which they breach personal devices? I'm sure it was spear phishing. I'm sure it was not much more than that, but show us what the spear phish looked like. Show us what the malware that was dropped. That would be fantastic intelligence, and that's what I would love to see. But again, I repeat myself because I say this all the time. Bleepingcomputer.com, Bill Tolis reporting, new MFA, multi-factor authentication, bypassing phishing kits targets Microsoft 365 and Gmail accounts. So it's very important to pay attention to this, because chances are most of us and anybody listening to this has one of those two, if not both of those accounts. I have both of those accounts in one way, shape, or form. Cyber criminals have been increasingly using a new phishing as a service platform named Tycoon 2FA to target Microsoft 365 and Gmail accounts and bypass two-factor authentication protection. Tycoon 2FA was discovered by Sequoia analysts in October 2023 doing routine threat hunting, but has been active since at least August 2023 when the SAD Tycoon group offered it through a private Telegram channel. This phishing as a service kit shares similarities with other adversary in the middle platforms such as DadSecOTT, suggesting possible code reuse or collaboration between developers. You can probably pretty much take to the bank that's both of those things. In 2024, they released a newer, stealthier version. So here's the stages of how this attack goes. Stage zero, attackers distribute malicious links via emails with embedded URLs or QR codes, tricking victims into accessing phishing pages. A security challenge filters out bots, allowing only human interactions to proceed to the deceptive phishing site. So they've actually designed the code to ignore bots and only do human interactions. Interesting. Stage two, background scripts extract the victim's email from the URL to customize the phishing attack. In other words, if it's a Gmail account, you'll get a Gmail login. If it's a Microsoft account, you'll get a Office 365 login. Stage three, users are quietly redirected to another part of the phishing site, moving them closer to the fake login page. Stage four, this stage presents a fake Microsoft login to steal credentials using WebSockets for data exfiltration. Stage five, the kit mimics a two-factor challenge, intercepting the two-factor token or response to bypass security measures. In other words, what they mean there is as they're now a man in the middle, they will on another site basically do your login. You get the two-factor authentication challenge code, however you get that, you'll enter that data and they will then take it and enter it into the real login and have access to your system. And then finally, stage six, victims are directed to a legitimate looking page obscuring the phishing attack success. And there's an overview of the attack. It's a diagram if you want to take a look at that. It's huge. It's a problem. Be aware of it, right? So again, this highlights several things. Be careful what you're clicking. And the bad guys are always going to be ahead of us. So again, this just goes to show the evolution of these actors and how they find ways to target us and steal our information. And it's important, again, to be aware of these things. And hopefully there's more intelligence that will come out about this as we go forward. That's going to do it for this episode of the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. Thanks so much again for listening. We'll be back again on Friday with my Friday op-ed. I still need a topic. Hopefully one will come to me by then. Enjoy your day.
Cyber Smart Morning News is written and produced by Cyber Guy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com. Or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.